While the government is scrambling to fix problems with healthcare.gov and most Republican lawmakers are focusing on everything that is going wrong with it, one has proposed a type of alternative. House Oversight Committee Chairman Daryl Issa says all Americans should be able to buy health insurance through the Federal Employees Health Benefits Program. Now, it's not a new idea. Walt Francis is the principal author of Checkbook's Guide to Health Plans for Federal Employees, and he joins us now to look at it. Hi, Walt.
Hi, Emily.
So, Walt, tell me, what do you see as the major pros and cons of the ISA proposal or any type of proposal in the past to expand the Federal Employees Health Benefits Program as it relates to federal employees?
Well, actually, federal employees could be totally insulated from, and presumably would be, from the program if it were open to others. To give you a real-world current example, one small piece of the Affordable Care Act is a pre-existing risk condition pool, which is kind of for people who can't get insurance otherwise, who are very expensive because of pre-existing conditions. And the GEHA plan, one of the main FESUHE plans, under contract with OPM, has been running that program for 3 years. So it's, and it hasn't had any effect on the regular GEHA plan or on the FEHPP program. So you'd segregate the finances, you'd segregate the administration of it. The rules couldn't be exactly the same. You know, it could be done, and it could be done without affecting federal employees directly. It might even, over time, benefit them. Because it might bring in more plans into the federal employee pool and improve competition.
So is it what you're describing basically like two separate but equal plans, one for federal employees and one run alongside it for everyone else? Or would it be more mixed than that? And if so, how?
But it's, think of it as the federal employee program is an exchange. It's the original health insurance exchange. It's one of three the federal government operates that are very successful. The other two are the Medicare Advantage Exchange and the Medicare Part D Drug Plan Exchange. The Massachusetts exchange was modeled in large part on the FEHPP, and so was, and here's sort of the dirty little secret, the Obamacare exchanges were modeled after the federal employees exchange. It's not like we're talking about some rocket science issue here. There are all kinds of issues. I think what Congressman Issa was doing when he introduced this bill was to sort of put a marker out there, you know, a wake-up call to people. Hey, there is a simple alternative that works. And, of course, that's part of the issue because the Affordable Care Act made the state exchanges so complicated to administer, the subsidies so complex, the calculation of the subsidies involving so many factors, that they had to set up this federal hub and all that. The very things that aren't working very well in the FEHEP are simple, clear, they're automatic almost.
It certainly sets it up as the gold standard for the rest of us to be envious about. But, you know, this is not a new idea. Why hasn't it gotten traction before?
Well, a lot of reasons. Let me say it. Actually, the original attempt to model a national health insurance program after the FHVP was one from economist Alan Entoven way back in the Carter administration. He actually wrote a book about using the FEHVP as a model. Using it to actually provide insurance, not just as a model, but as the exchange, it does present all kinds of complexities. For example, the federal employees and retirees' premiums are simply deducted from their paychecks and their annuities. Well, it's not so simple to collect money from millions and millions of uninsured people, some of whom are unemployed, and all of whom have different banking arrangements and so on. So there'd be a whole set of administrative problems that don't exist in the federal employee program. But that said, you know, it's certainly a possible option, and I think the point now is that you have two exchanges working side by side, each operated, one by the federal government on behalf of its own employees and one by the federal government on behalf of about half the states. And guess what? One of them is working like a charm and the other one is struggling.
Yeah, but to be fair, the one working like a charm, they've had years and years of practice. Let me ask you this, because the National Treasury Employees Union very quickly came out in opposition of Chairman Daryl Issa's proposal, saying that basically it would force feds to subsidize other Americans. Do you see any data to back that claim up, or is it an unfounded fear?
Well, it's not unfounded. The bill as written, it's just a little bill. It doesn't purport to set out all the important details.
No, it's less than 5 pages, really, when you take away the big print and stuff.
Crucial point the NTEU is making, and it's a perfectly reasonable point, I mean, is that if you put people in the same what's called risk pool, okay, as federal employees, and you got what's called adverse selection, that's the sort of the older and sicker people sign up and the younger and healthier ones stay away, you would drive up costs to federal employees. So the important thing here is to create a separate risk pool. You have to do that. Otherwise, it would be madness. And that's in fact what was done in creating the high risk pool to operate parallel to the FDHPP three years ago, just about the very first part of the Affordable Care Act to go into place. So yeah, the concern of NTEU is real and should be addressed. But assuming it were addressed in a more robust version of the bill, then it wouldn't be a problem.
We're speaking with Walt Francis. He's principal author of Checkbook's Guide to Health Plans for Federal Employees. And expanding the FEHPB would certainly give more responsibility to the Office of Personnel Management, which has been running it. But it also has a role to play in healthcare.gov. And I just want to get your take on whether you think OPM has been effective and an efficient manager in both plans and could handle this extra responsibility.
Well, there's no question that, I mean, OPM administers this program with fewer than 200 people. It's just amazing. And, of course, as you mentioned, they've had decades to, practice to sort of get it right. And they do get it right. They have a terrific website, one of the very best the federal government has. This is the opm.gov/insure website, not to be confused with healthcare.gov. And so, yeah, they could do the whole thing from soup to nuts and do it well. As I said, I think the real problem, if you will, and there's several related problems, is you would actually have to create this expansion of the program in such a way as to make it workable, dealing with things like a sensible system of subsidies that's not too complex to administer, and also having some fairly simple way, and it couldn't be as simple as the way they use now, and it would have to be quite different, way to collect premiums from people who enroll. But, yeah, it could be done.
Do you see this idea gaining traction this time around, given the focus now on health care and how people get it?
I think it'll get a lot of traction on talk shows maybe, but no, it's not a serious proposal in the sense that, I mean, clearly the Obama administration is not going to seriously consider replacing their 2,500-page law with this 5-page law, okay, and there's many things that Obamacare this doesn't address. That said, it's worth thinking about as people focus on what's wrong and how do we fix it, because clearly, the federal exchanges or the federally run state exchanges, however you want to characterize it, under the Affordable Care Act are not running real smoothly, to say the least. And the FHCP has lessons to teach.
And while we have you, we know that open season is nearly upon us. Anything in particular that you think federal employees should pay attention to this year?
The number one thing they should always pay attention to is this is a way to give yourself a pay raise. Think about changing to a less expensive plan and saving what can be, in many cases, several thousand dollars a year for you and your family by reduced premiums and reduced out-of-pocket costs. So think of this as a budgeting opportunity and spend an hour or two doing the homework, and you may give yourself a very pleasant New Year's present in terms of more take-home pay.
And that's something federal employees haven't heard for a while. Walt Francis is the author of Checkbook's Guide to Health Plans for Federal Employees. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thank you.